News and interviews from your community every morning on WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
And welcome on board WDKOK Sunrise. It is time for Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic. His website, aisleseater.com. Welcome aboard, sir. Thanks for coming in. Thank you for coming in. And let's see, we have your review of Family Camp.
Christian YouTube comedians The Skit Guys make their movie debut with Family Camp. And frankly, they should have stayed on YouTube. Tommy Woodard plays a workaholic who gets talked into attending a week-long church camp with his wife and kids. The family is forced to room with obnoxious chiropractor Eddie James and his clan. The first hour of the movie is filled with lame, uninspired slapstick as the two men ruthlessly compete against each other in the camp's annual Olympic Games. That's dull, but the second half is even worse. Both guys have a religious awakening after getting lost in the wilderness, but not before they're kidnapped by Bigfoot hunters and tied to a tree. Yes, that really happens. The desire to meld a serious message of faith with broad, goofy comedy leads to a disjointed tone. Family Camp wants to be a Christian version of the 1988 comedy The Great Outdoors, but the Skit Guys are not Dan Aykroyd and John Candy. They simply aren't funny, and the already weak material falls apart completely in their hands. Family Camp made me say hallelujah when it was over, just not for the reasons the filmmakers intended. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1 DVD copy of Meatballs.
Another one. You're on a roll here for films you don't really like.
It's a bad movie. And, you know, we don't get a lot of Christian comedies. Usually they're dramas about miracles or abrupt salvations and things like that. It's hard to do a Christian comedy because the message has to be serious, but then you have to surround it with all this humor. And in this case, they go for this big, broad, slapstick humor, and then they try to get very serious with themes about family and faith and religion and things like that, and the two just don't meld together at all. Plus, like I said, these guys aren't funny. You know, they do not have the charisma or the talent or the personality to carry a two-hour movie the way that Dan Aykroyd and John Candy did in The Great Outdoors, or the way Bill Murray did in Meatballs, or the way Chevy Chase did in National Lampoon's Vacation, which this movie also kind of borrows from a little bit. They're just not comedians on that level.
All right, so why did Vacation work so well? Of course, Chevy Chase is glued it together, but why else was that film accomplished the same thing? Maybe its simplicity. They didn't try to add a spiritual aspect to it.
Well, yeah, and I think that movie knew what it was doing. It was about a guy trying to give his family a perfect vacation and repeatedly failing, and the more he failed, the more determined he became to give them that perfect vacation. And that's a funny concept. This movie is just like, we'll go to summer camp and we'll have the Olympic Games, and the guys will participate in archery contests, and they'll play soccer in these big inflatable balloons and smash into each other. You know, and that's just not really that funny. The movie doesn't know what it wants to do other than to deliver a religious message, which it does, but the comedy is kind of slapped together. And I actually think this movie is sort of insulting to Christian audiences that it's aimed at, because this movie assumes that Christians will swallow any old nonsense as long as the characters stop and talk about God every 20 minutes.
Well, you're a person of faith.
Sure, absolutely.
Did you find it too shallow in that regard?
Well, I don't think it really has anything new or profound to say.
Okay.
Spend more time with your family. Well, you know, who doesn't know that?
Okay, one
DVD copy of Meatballs, a far better summer camp comedy than Family Camp.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, there's quite a few good summer camp movies out there.
Wet Hot American Summer, another one that I'm really fond of.
Okay, and Vacation 2, or whatever came out after that. All right, let's suppose you're undeterred and you wish to see Family Camp. Mm-hmm. Where's that?
It is in theaters right now.
Okay, and that's the only place to see that. Chippendale, and we don't mean the dancers. What's happening there?
Yes, today Disney Plus releases their new movie, Chippendale Rescue Rangers, which is a movie reboot of the popular cartoon series that debuted in 89 and ran through the early 90s. And I don't know why they didn't release this movie to the theater. It would have absolutely cleaned up. John Mulaney and Andy Samberg do the voices of Chippendale. And the story is ostensibly about how they reunite and they go on a mission to rescue an old colleague who's been kidnapped by Peter Pan. Peter Pan is now this angry, middle-aged, balding guy who kidnaps cartoons and sends them overseas to be turned into cheap knockoffs. You know, and that's kind of funny and kind of clever, but they use this movie as a spoof of modern-day movie trends. The fact that movies these days are so obsessed with intellectual property and franchises and sequels and reboots. So there's a lot of meta humor in this, a lot of in-jokes. And I have to admit, I really did not know what to expect from this film because I had never seen the TV show. It came on when I was in college and not watching cartoons.
Chip and Dale
Rescue Rangers, okay. Yes. But I laughed out loud at this movie way more than I expected to. It's a lot of fun. Kids will love the antics. Adults will appreciate the commentary on the fact that movies these days are far less original than they used to be. So it's very funny. Debuts on Disney Plus today. Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. 3 stars for that one.
Disney Plus. Okay. I saw a little bit of the trailer. It certainly looked like good old class and sort of Disney stuff, but you could get the theme even from the trailer that there were some other mentions within the film, some other themes in the film about some other movies. Okay, so Rescue Rangers just on Disney Plus. Why not go to theaters? Was maybe a contractual obligation or something?
I think Disney Plus is trying to drive subscribers, so they're trying to have some big movies on there. You know, the last couple Pixar movies have debuted on there, but they should have released this in theaters. This movie would have been a huge hit.
Will it ever go to theaters?
No.
Okay.
Now it'll just be on Disney Plus. Maybe they'll put it on Blu-ray and DVD somewhere down the road, but just on Disney Plus.
Now, if it wants to qualify for awards, don't you have, like for an Oscar, don't you have to be in a movie house at least once a day or something?
You have to play in a theater in either New York or Los Angeles for 1 week.
Okay.
To be eligible for an Oscar.
Okay. Are the other awards so stringent?
Not quite as much. For example, I'm a member of the Critics' Choice Association, and we do consider movies that debut on streaming, Netflix films and stuff like that.
So you just look at the art and judge the art,
yep.
No matter where they happen to decide to, what medium that they chose. Okay. Talking this week about Fred Ward. I'll have to admit, when I saw this in your notes, I didn't know who he was, so I looked him up, and holy smokes, he's been in everything.
Yeah, Fred Ward died this week at age 79. He was one of those that guy actors. He showed up in a lot of movies. You maybe didn't know his name, but you always recognized his face. He was in Remo Williams' The Adventure Begins back in the 80s. The Player, one of my favorite performances from him, The Right Stuff. And he was primed to be the next big action star. This movie, 80s kids will remember Remo Williams' The Adventure Begins. It was supposed to kick off this big franchise, this big action franchise that was going to rival the James Bond movies. And he was the star. And the movie tanked. And so his career never hit that A-list status, but he went on to become a really great character actor who just did parts here and there. Sometimes he was on TV, sometimes in film. Always good, always dependable. One of those guys who, when he showed up on screen, you recognized him and you smiled because you're like, oh, I like that guy. He's never bad. So a real loss with the death of Fred Ward this week.
Yeah, Escape from Alcatraz. You know, Clint Eastwood stole the show.
Film.
There's no argument there, but he was a key character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw some video from that this week when they were talking about Fred Ward. So, yeah, so age 79, so he is gone. Now, tell me why this is such big news. You were talking about it this week, and other people are, that this is Spinal Tap.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have a sequel. Lawrence's worthless remark is, so what? But everybody else says, oh, no.
Well, this is Spinal Tap is a classic comedy, considered by a lot of people to be one of the great comedies of the last 50 years or so. I would put myself in that camp. And they're going to make a sequel. And at first, I thought this was a really bad idea, because how do you ever recreate the magic of Spinal Tap, even though everybody from the original was involved again? But Rob Reiner announced that the movie was essentially going to parody Martin Scorsese's The Last Waltz, the film he made about the final days of the band and Robbie Robertson. And that's a really interesting idea, to come back and look at Spinal Tap at the end of their career and see how things have changed and see what those characters are doing now. So I have to admit, after I found out the general premise, I was pretty excited about it. And hopefully they can bring back some of that magic of the original, which is such a funny movie.
Yeah, I saw it, 30 years ago or something? It didn't leave a lasting impression like it has for you. You and other movie fans that recognize it as a significant milestone definitely are excited about this.
Yeah, definitely. And because everybody is coming back, that's what really makes it special. These guys have a chemistry together, and they made magic the first time, so hopefully they can do it again.
And finally, let's see, a documentary about Albert Brooks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, Rob Reiner, he's directing the Spinal Tap sequel again. He also announced that he is making a documentary about the great comedian Albert Brooks. Brooks. And this is really exciting because Albert Brooks is a genius, but he's one of those people that has never been recognized by the general public the same way a Steve Martin has or a Bill Murray or somebody like that. And he really deserves to be. He's one of the smartest, funniest, sharpest comedic minds we've ever had. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Rob Reiner pays tribute to him, and hopefully that will kick off a renaissance of people wanting to see Albert Brooks films because, you know, Lost in America, another all-time classic comedy, Defending Your Life. I mean, he's just such a funny guy, and I hope that it reignites interest in his work.
Defending Your Life and Lost in America are the go-to ones?
For me, yeah. Lost in America in particular, to me, is one of the great American comedies. If you've never seen Lost in America,
all right, give us
that's
three.
A fantastic film.
Tell me one I've already seen.
Well, Defending Your Life was fairly popular. That's the thing. He's never really made one that has been a huge hit.
Okay.
Modern Romance, another one that was very popular. Real Life. The Muse with Sharon Stone, which he made back in 99. So a lot of great films on this, but this is what I mean. You know, he's not somebody you say Albert Brooks, and everybody's like, oh yeah, I know all his movies, and hopefully this documentary will change that.
Okay, I'm hoping so because I can see the zeal in your tone, and I think I've seen some of these films, but mm-hmm. I didn't mark the films down as remarkably noteworthy. But comedic timing and directing was his specialty, and that's what I'll see if I look more closely.
Yeah, and great writing. You know, really sharp writing in his films.
Fantastic. All right. Sounds super. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.
Movie Mike McGranahan, professional movie critic, women in cinema advocate, author, the Chevy Chase books, and prolific entertainment news reporter. We always appreciate his help. Oh, one of our good listeners sends us a text and says, broadcast news is
He was an actor in that one. That was not one of his films, but he was an actor in that one, and he's great.
All right, fantastic. Thank you so much. All right, we're good to go. All right, thank you so much. Next up, we're going to see how your money sounds in Your Money Now.